From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
I'm delighted you're listening in to Life Change Weekend. Thank you for listening in. And as most of you know, we have guests on Life Change Weekend. People have written books, people have testimonies, people have come to Christ, people who have unique ministries. And today is like that. I'm so glad to have a really good friend on with me. He and I traveled to Israel together with a group of people a number of years ago. I'm at his church every year at a Bible conference. Haas Wiggins is on, and Haas, we're delighted to have you on the program with us today. Welcome to Life Change Weekend.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Dino. It's a blessing to be with y'all.
And Haas, tell us just a little bit about your family, and we're going to talk about what you do, but tell us just a little bit about your family. You have a wonderful family, and you're at that stage like I am. You've got those young ones that kind of get us tired, but we love them, the grandchildren.
Yes, my wife and I have been married coming up on 44 years, just June 1st. Her name is Linda. I affectionately call her Honey Bear. She's been my Honey Bear since the day I met her. And God's blessed us with two boys, Jason and Kevin. Both of our sons are married, and between the two, we have a total of six grandkids. They all live here locally around us, and so we find ourselves busy chasing our grandkids to soccer games, basketball games, baseball games, and stuff like that. That seems to be what takes up a lot of our time, but it's a blessing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Where I live at, I live a little ways away from you, Haas. I'm in Delray Beach, but we have rescue vehicles constantly going by us, not too far from where we live at. There's a section of area for those that are senior citizens. And you have been very involved in rescue work in the past. Tell us what you have done, and tell us just a little bit about how God led you into this kind of work, because I think it's fascinating to think about so many people like yourself that are a huge help and blessing to people, sometimes in their deepest time of need.
Well, I had the opportunity to serve in my hometown with Martin County Fire Rescue for a total of 33 years. Mm-hmm. There is something special about trying to serve in a role, being a role that you can help people in a dire situation. My dad was involved in law enforcement my whole life. Several other of my family members were involved in law enforcement. I don't know how I wound up on the road being in the fire service, but I did, and had a wonderful career. And it was a joy to be able to serve the citizens here in Martin County.
You know, Haas, you're one of those guys that every time I see you, you look like you get younger all the time. You know, 33 years, you don't look 33 years old, actually. And you've got that real life look about you, and you're on the go. I know your pastor speaks so highly about all the stuff that you do, but 33 years at anywhere is quite an accomplishment. We congratulate you. You were also a battalion chief, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I started out back in 1986 as a firefighter with our fire rescue department, and when I retired as one of our battalion chiefs and also serving as our department chaplain.
Now, help our people understand, what is a battalion chief?
A battalion chief, typically, they're the senior ranking shift officer. A lot of fire rescue departments, they work 24 on and 48 off. You know, there's firefighters in the stations, there's captains in charge of the stations, rescue captains. But a battalion chief, he's kind of the overall shift supervisor, as well as they respond to emergency calls with crews in a formal sense. They are a incident commander.
So now you're the fire rescue chaplain. How do you define your role as a fire rescue chaplain?
I've always defines my role after thinking about it for some time, as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Being a born-again child of God and having this unique privilege and honor to serve a peculiar set of people, I view my role as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven and just as an encourager to our people.
And you have done a great work with that. You've told me a number of stories. We'll talk about those a little later. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padrone chatting with you. So glad to have our guest on with us today, Haas Wiggins, who is the fire rescue chaplain of Martin County. I want to remind you, dear friends, you can contact us at dinapadroneministries.org. And the book that we'd like to advertise this week is an excellent book written by a good friend of mine, a marine biologist who is also a pastor, Tony Hammond from the Florida Keys. It's called On the Edge of Eden, On the Edge of Eden. It's a book that deals with the ministry and the work of people that are very poor in Uganda. If you like missionary endeavors, if you like the mystery of what's taking place in other parts of the world, this is a book that will really be a blessing to you. It'll take you a while to read. It's over 400 pages, a lot of documentation in here. But that book you can get simply going to dinapadroneministries.org. Give us a love gift toward the ministry if you can as well, and we'll get this book to you just as quickly as we can. Talking to Haas Wiggins today, and so you have been a fire rescue chaplain. What are some of the challenges you face concerning chaplain ministry at Mountain County Fire Rescue?
Well, the current challenges I face is connecting with our young firefighters. When I started serving as our fire rescue chaplain 20 years ago, I was the chaplain to my contemporaries. We all, those people that we grew up together in the fire service. And I've retired. There's been a huge turnover through attrition, people retiring. We've just got a lot of young kids in our department nowadays, and that's a current challenge. And then I would say another challenge is just on a case-by-case basis. You know, you try to be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit when you're dealing with people through adversity, through sadness, through, you know, whatever's going on in some of our firefighters' lives. And sometimes you feel like, you know, you don't have all the answers.
I'm sure that's true, Haas. And really, in some ways, you almost have like a pastoral role with people, don't you?
I do. They have a church that their flock comes to and worship and to hear the word. And while I don't have a church, I definitely have a mission field. And we're roughly 400 members strong with Martin County Fire Rescue. And if you just take and multiply that by two or three representing wives and children, that's a pretty sizable congregation that you're susceptible to having to care for.
Right. Now, Haas, there's probably somebody listening in right now that is thinking to themselves about fire rescue, and they might be interested in getting involved in that, and maybe even somebody thinking about a chaplaincy in their area. What would you say to people to prepare for this kind of work?
Well, first of all, there has to be a sense or a calling and a sense that you feel like God's leading you in that direction. Anything that God calls us to, He will equip us for. And so I would say if you feel that calling, you know, the biggest thing I find myself doing is being around people, just trying to build some camaraderie, just trying to get to know people. And I do that. You have to be willing to sow in too. If you feel like God's calling you to the chaplain ministry or any role like that, you have to be willing to sow into it. I've told some of our other chaplains throughout the years, as they first come on, I said, you're going to reap out of the chaplain ministry what you sow into it. And I said, and that involves buddying up next to the guys and gals in the department. But I think that has a lot to do with it.
That is such a good thought, Haas. I think that's true with everything in life, isn't it? If you want something out of something, you must sow into that thing. And I think that's a great thought for life itself. That's a great life principle. And I think you have certainly shown that with the work that you've done there. So, Haas, help me out a little bit here with the support system from fire reserve administrators as well as firefighters in the street for chaplain ministries.
Well, I've had the the privilege of serving under, I believe I've counted the number right, under five different fire rescue chiefs, starting back in the mid-90s when I was asked by then Chief Wolfberg if I would serve as a chaplain to our department, and then currently serving under this current administration. I believe it's been five administrative chiefs, and I praise God that all five chiefs that I've served under, they have embraced the chaplain ministry. They believe in what the chaplain ministry is about, what we endeavor to do. And as far as the guys and gals out in the street, I show up at stations. I jump on the fire truck. I'll go ride for a few hours with them and stuff. And a lot of support there. What makes the chaplain ministry, I think, successful is, from a ministering point of view, a lot of times I get phone calls from other people. And a classic example is I got a phone call about 3 weeks ago from one of our 911 dispatchers. And I know this young man. He's a child of God. But he called to tell me that one of our dispatch supervisors, they had a loved one that passed away. And he just wanted to make me aware of it. He didn't know if I knew. And I said, well, no, I didn't know. And so a lot of times the what makes the chaplain ministry effective is it's a two-way conversation, you know, me reaching out to people, but people reaching out to me. And I believe we have that in Martin County, and it's a blessing. It really is.
Mm-hmm. And describe a little bit where Martin County is at. This program goes all over various parts of America and over into Africa. Where is Martin County at in the United States?
Martin County is we're halfway between Miami and Orlando on the east coast of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful.
So we're about 100 miles north of Miami on the east coast of Florida. Our county actually butts up to the Atlantic Ocean, and we're going west. It butts up to Lake Okeechobee.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful area, beautiful town. You're listening in to Life Change Weekend. Delighted to have you listen in. Brought to you through Dino Padron Ministries. And we are so glad to have Haas Wiggins on as our guest. And I want to encourage you to get a book out of our library here called On the Edge of Eden. It's written by a biologist and a pastor, Tony Hammond from the Keys. And it's the story of Uganda and his work and the work of the International Association of Christian Colleges and Schools in Uganda and what God is doing there. If you like missionary challenges, if you like history in the making, this is a book, over 400 pages, that talks about a call to action. The work there, as Tony describes it, is essential as they are educating educators and to train the next generation for the future leaders of their nation. We hear Haas today talking about training the next generation of people in firefighting, and it's so important to prepare the next generation. And that's what this book is about. It talks about the work in Uganda, the amazing work of people coming to know the Lord. Simply go to dinopadronministries.org. That's our webpage, Dino Padron Ministries. That's DINOPEDRONE, ministries, plural, .org. And you can get the book there. And we appreciate your supporting our ministry if you can. But that book will be a great blessing to you. Talking today to Haas Wiggins, and Haas, it's great having you on today. Now, I've got to believe with the kind of work that you're doing, there's some personal difficulties that come along. So what are some of those personal difficulties?
Well, from a personal standpoint, a couple that I think about, I remember I'd gotten a phone call, speaking of hearing from firefighters, and they wanted to know if I had heard about a death in Martin County Fire Rescue. And I said, no. And I said, but I'll try to find out. And I hung up with that individual and I called the chief of our department. And I asked him if there had been a death in our department. And he said, yes, there has been. And we're going to need your help. And when he told me who it was, it took my breath away, because this young man, he was 51 years old when he passed away. He had gotten off duty one particular shift, went home. And later that afternoon, his wife found him deceased. And when he told me that, I was his battalion chief, and I had been his chief since the time that we had hired him. and it took my breath away. I couldn't believe it. And his wife asked me if I would preach his memorial service. And I had the privilege of doing that to a congregation of about 1,500 firefighters from all over the Southeast United States. But I think that he and I had become a lot closer friends than either one of us realized. And when I was notified of who it was, it just crushed my heart. And another situation, difficulty, I had another one of my then captains. He was off duty this particular shift, but in the wee hours of the morning, he crashed his truck. And where he crashed his truck out, when they toned out units to respond to a car wreck, they got out there, and it was his crew that had to pronounce him dead at the scene.
Oh, wow.
And of course, I went out as our chaplain, and I too was dear friends with this particular firefighter whose life was taken so short. And he was a believer in Christ. But yeah, when you know, dealing in the chaplain ministry, you know, you try to guard against, there's a fine line. It's hard to explain, you know, but you try to guard against allowing yourself to get too personally wrapped up in the dilemma, if you will. But it, just my nature, I find myself getting wrapped up in it, and that's okay. It's worth it. And so, yeah, those are some of the difficulties that I've experienced as a chaplain.
I think too, Haas, when somebody is wrapped up in it, like you mentioned, it's a good way to put it, and you have that kind of a heart for it, that makes such a difference when tragedy like that strikes, because I think for all of us as we get older, there are those circumstances where something happens that we're just, it's like you say, it's almost surreal, I think. You don't almost recognize what's taking place, and yet because your heart is so into it, it makes such a big difference. I know when I was a pastor, Haas, every once in a while I'd have a funeral for somebody I didn't know, and most people did not know, and you try to put your heart into it, but you just didn't know the person. But when you know someone, it makes such a huge difference. And I think it's wonderful that there's chaplains and pastors who have a heart like that. You know, we're told to kind of stay distant, but I don't think you can you, Haas?
No, I've always, my heart's desire is to always be transparent before our people. I mean, they know me. They've known me for, a few of them have known me for many, many years, but I think it's important for me to be transparent and not to come across as somebody that I'm not. And the genuineness, I think, goes a long, long way with people when you're trying to minister to people.
Yeah, that's well put. That really is. I often think of the passage in Peter when Peter is admonishing the elders or the pastors, and he says, "Feed the flock of God amongst you, not by constraint nor for filthy lucre, but providing shepherding and oversight care." And that's true, amen, of a pastor. And I think that's true of people in general who have these kind of roles. It's pretty hard to pretty hard to be with people and not care for people. And maybe if you don't care for people, maybe that's not the place you ought to be, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very unique thing. Well, great having you on, Haas. We're going to come back to Haas in just a minute. I do want to remind you that Monday through Friday, you can listen to our radio broadcast of Teaching the Bible, Teaching the Scriptures, here over these stations. We're glad for the network we are on throughout the Northeast, WPEL, WPGM, and all of their affiliates, our good friends up there, Jim Baker and so many others. God bless you and all the work that you do. And for Brother Michael there in Africa, where we are on in East Africa. And then with the Mission Go online radio program that takes us all over the various parts of the world, we're so glad that you're getting this broadcast. We come to you from Delray Beach, Florida. And again, I want to say to you one more time today that if you'd like to have the book On the Edge of Eden, that will help you to get a picture of missionary work that's going on in Uganda. And it's really a call to action for all of us in areas, things that we need to do. You'll read about Ugandan churches, orphanages, schools, all that face daily crisis. And how IACCS, International Association of Christian Colleges and Schools, have blessed those people, written by my good friend Tony Hammond. Simply go to dinapadroneministries.org, and you can get a copy of the book by ordering it there. Well, Haas, give us some of the most memorable moments you have had.
Well, it's always a memorable moment when I have the privilege and the honor of introducing somebody to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And over the years, I've had several opportunities to lead several of our people to Christ. I'll share one with you. One of our firefighters was in the hospital, and he was in ICU, and he was on a vent machine. He had some sort of disease. They were trying to find a special hospital to get him to. And so I went to this particular day, I went to see him, and when I walked in his room, he was unconscious, and he was on this breathing machine. And I had the opportunity years before to preach both his mother and his father's memorial services on different occasions. And so, and he had heard me talk about the gospel of Christ. But when I walked in that day and seen him unconscious on that breathing machine, I walked over to his bed, and I leaned over his bed, and I put my mouth right next to his ear. And this is the prayer I prayed over him. I said, "Dear Lord, please don't take this man out of this world until he can hear the gospel one more time." Mm. And I left. A couple days later, I went back to just to check on him, and he was sitting up in bed. He was awake. His wife was standing next to his bed with her back to the door. And when I walked in the room, they had taken the breathing tube out, and he was awake. And his wife turned around, and when she seen me, she says, "You have to come see what he just wrote on this note, on this piece of paper." He couldn't talk because his voice was so sore from having the intubation tube in. And I walked over to her, and she showed me a piece of paper, and he had just written, "Where is Hoss? Need to talk." And I knew right then that God had honored my prayer. And so I had the privilege of sharing with he and his wife the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told him about the prayer that I prayed over him 2 days before. I asked him if he would like to make a decision for Christ, have his sins forgiven, have his name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's nodding his head in the affirmative. And I had the joyful time of leading both he and his wife to the Lord that particular day. Another memorable moment is both of my sons, about a little over a year ago, they both were promoted. Our oldest son was promoted from a captain to battalion chief. Our youngest son was promoted from a fire medic to a captain. And both of them were promoted within 5 or 6 days of each other. And so we have these big promotional ceremonies. I often go and do the invocation, the opening prayer at these ceremonies. And I asked the chief if I could take my battalion chief badge off my Class A uniform and badge my oldest son, who had just made battalion chief. And I said, and he wants to take his captain badge, and he wants to badge his little brother as captain. And so we had an opportunity to do that. They refer to that now as a legacy promotion. And that was just a highlight, a wonderful, wonderful highlight, not only in the life of Fire Rescue, but in the life of our whole family. And so I'm very, very proud of both of our sons. They do their jobs very, very well, and they're hard workers, and they both know the Lord.
Well, I tell you, Hoss, those were two great examples. It's been great having you on today. Hoss Wiggins with us today, chaplain of the fire rescue team there in Martin County in Florida. And I'm going to ask you a request here, Hoss, and I want you to put together some more of those memorable moments and have you come on again. I want to hear more stories like that. Your pastor is Bill Snyder, dear friend of mine. And as you know, he's a wonderful leader in your church. We often talk, he says, "Boy, you ought to hear the divine appointments Haas has." Well, thank you, Haas. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening in today, friends, and join us Monday. Life Change today, Monday through Friday, and Life Change weekend at this time as well. Haas Wiggins has been our guest. Have a blessed day and a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.